foundation and doctrine of the church. And then yung eschatology, no, the doctrine of the last days, last things. Because yung our belief of end times, no, what will happen in the end will affect or influence our ministry in the present. No? So ano yung pinapaniwala mong mangyayari sa future, it will affect how you live your lives in the present. Kaya yun ang pinili natin, yung eschatology, for the last 2 weeks, 2 sessions. No? So far, itong nakaraang staff dev natin, malinaw ba lahat? Wala namang, may question ba kayo? Sa mga tinuro ni Bishop Jovi? Okay naman? O yung sa 10 Commandments, sa 10 series natin, na-apply nyo ba yung senior ni Dr. Nomer last week, no? About Christ-centered preaching of the 10 Commandments. So this week, command number 2, no, second command, na-upload na sa Facebook. So let's pray as we commit this time to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for this session with Bishop Jovi on ecclesiology and eschatology. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come and open our hearts and minds. Help us to understand, grasp, comprehend, and apply your word into our lives. And we pray for your grace, for your presence, anointing upon Bishop Jovi as he teaches your word. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Bishop Jovi?
Praise God. Magandang tanghali po sa inyong lahat. Marami po na rapture sa atin. Sa School of Empowerment. Ako po, gusto kong pumasok sa School of Empowerment. Ayaw kong papasukin. Masyado daw akong powerless. Pero si Dr. Hammond ba? Dr. Hammond? Next week daw? Jane?
Yung anak. Yung
anak ni Dr. Bill?
Si Tom Hammond.
Di ba nakapunta na sila dito? So baka makapasok tayo doon next week. So praise the Lord at kayo po ang remnants of the generation. Paul talks about the remnants of Israel. Romans 9, 10, 11. There is actually a theology of remnants. Marami po mga authors kung ano-anong klaseng theology ang pinagsusulat. Sa klase naman, merong theology of sleep. Oh. Kasi pag yung teacher ay very boring, okay, yung pastor, preacher, very boring, so makakatulog sila, and then they will say, the pastor contributed to my health. Oh, kasi nakatutulog sila. Yung pala sa bahay, hindi nakakatulog. Oh, sa church, nakakatulog. Kaya, if somebody would come to you and thank you that you contributed to their health, no? Itanong mo kung bakit. I asked permission from Pastor Winston kung pwede kong ituloy ng konti yung ecclesiology because there are some things doon na I feel we need to clarify kasi tayo ay taga-church. So there are some things there that are very, very essential for us to know. So ito po yung ating flow. We'll go into ecclesiology muna, and then we go to eschatology part 1, which is eternal states. Madali lang naman po yun because it's all about hell. No? So nakakatakot yan, hell. How many of you have read Charles Spurgeon? Charles Spurgeon, yung lectures to his students, yung libro na yun, And Charles Spurgeon was asked by one of his students, kasi doon sa lecture ni Charles Spurgeon, if you are preaching on heaven, see to it that your face is glowing, very radiant, very joyful, because that is a picture of heaven. So yung tanong ng estudyante, how about when we preach hell? Well, your regular face will do. So, ito si Charles Spurgeon. If you read that book, ano din, matindi ang humor nun, si Charles Spurgeon. So, ito po yung ating flow. And I'm supposed to get into the leaders, the ministries, ministry leaders, doon po sa last part. But last night, I was into discussion with some pastors about yung mga visions tungkol sa sinong mananalo months before the elections. And today, there are some cracks na naman doon sa unity wall ng ating body of Christ because of that. No? How many of you have heard of these visions, prophecy, no, about sinong mananalo and all of that? Obviously, there is this group that nakatanggap sila ng vision that it is Rojas. And so they prayed and then they declared and then they publicly endorsed Rojas kasi sabi, ito yung vision na ibinigay sa kanila. Oh. So, nanalo si Rojas, no? Doon sa Rojas City. Pero, you know, and then, kasi tinanong ako kasi, Bishop, ano ba yung permissive will? Oh, permissive will, P will, that is permitted. Oh, that's permissive will. So, of course, I was joking, no? Kasi sabi daw, eh, nanalo si Duterte, so Duterte is not the perfect will, he is a permissive will of God. Sabi ko, mukhang malabo yata yan, no? So, then I remember, I don't know if you remember that sheets, itong intercessor guy, very, very popular sa intercessory movement out of Colorado Springs. Nung Obama won for the first time, he came out with a statement that this is not the perfect will of God. In fact, sabi niya, Obama would be like a King Saul. I wrote him and I asked, how about Daniel 2:21-22, oh, et cetera, et cetera. Unfortunately, wala siyang reply. Oh. And then Obama, of course, despite all of these wheels and wheels, I went on to have his second term. Nairelect siya. Oh. So, I thought it would be a very beautiful digression if I could speak for a moment and discuss with you. After all, nasa church tayo na topic, no? Ecclesiological implications of the role of the church in national affairs. Mm-hmm. Now, to put it in a big picture, ano ba yung role ng church as far as transformation is concerned? Now, itong ginagawa po natin is part of leadership development. And we all know that tagline, training leaders, transforming nations. Of course, ang ating pong slogan is, honor God, make disciples. No, hindi lamang itinuloy natin yon sa Great Commission, disciples of all nations. And so, we come to the inevitable question, when can we say that a nation has been transformed? When can we say that a nation has been discipled? Amen. So, you know, we are into discipleship. That is the passion of victory. That is the DNA of victory. We are into transforming nations. That's why we are training leaders to transform nations. When can we say that a nation has been transformed? when can we say that as a nation has been discipled? And if we go through history, we find many models that those who have gone before us have engaged into. In terms of transforming communities, transforming cities, and transforming nations. And inevitably, we come to that subject, what is the role of the church? For instance, how many of you are familiar with the Quakers? Quakers. How many? Quaker ka ba dati? No.
Oatmeal.
Yeah. Yung Quaker dun sa oatmeal. Oh. How many of you are familiar with the Mennonites? Or the Anabaptists? Oh. Oh. Yung Quakers, we used to joke about Quakers. Kasi, alam mo ba kung bakit sila tinawag na Quakers? Kasi pag nag-worship sila, pagka nag-pray sila, nag-quake-quake sila. No? Kaya sinabing Quakers sila. And these are some of the prominent groups that have started what became in the Philippines as ecclesial communities. Or if some of you are familiar with the Catholic practices or outreach ministries, meron silang tinatawag na basic communities or basic community life. Pangatawag nila doon pagka nakasalob ka na. Oh. And it's something that they are doing to model what is to be a Christian community. Kaya gusto nilang i-model yung community na yan. Kaya nga ang tawag sa modelo na yan is Church on the Hill. You remember doon sa Sermon on the Mount? The Lord Jesus Christ said that he talked about the hill. And so it is a model that seeks to demonstrate to the public, to the world, what a Christian community is all about. However, hindi po naging masyadong ano yon, naging masyadong very successful. Why? Because alam mo naman sa isang community of imperfect people, there will always be imperfections that would dominate. Kaya in history, nagkaroon to ng mga medyo cracks. And while the Mennonites are still there, and they have done so much great things, while the Anabaptists are still there, Anabaptists and Mennonites, halos pareho na lang yan doktrina nila. And the Quakers are still there, I don't know if they're still quaking, but at least they have started something that some people are worth, they see worth studying, that could be a model. And then in church history, we also came across some other models like Christians taking on what is popularly called liberation theology. How many of you have heard about liberation theology? The liberation theology paradigm is basically from the book of Exodus. At ito ay naging very popular doon sa South American countries sapagkat the paradigm of Exodus is very attractive. Freedom, liberation, release, let my people go. Oh. And then they took on the motif of empowering the poor. Kaya nga, liberation theology is always associated with Exodus from the pangs and from the clutches of poverty. Kaya nga, very attractive yan sa tinatawag natin na South American countries, especially in the banana republics that we call them, sapagkat majority of the people there are poor. And so they talk this on. And it was very, very attractive. I remember we had one lecturer when I was in ATS. How many of you graduated from ATS? I just worry, Pastor Jonas, ba nandito? Pastor Jonas just graduated with counseling ba? Counseling? Oo. Sino pa? Oo. Dumadaming palang ATS dito. Ano? Oo. Galing sa ATS. Mga ATSs. That's the joke that we had before. Oh, but congratulations, Pastor Jonas. Sino pa? Congratulations, congratulations. Oh, doon ba mismo sa ATS o dito? Dito ginawa. Ah, okay. Oh, so tinutuloy yung program natin dati. Ah, counseling. Oh, which is good, very good. So that is one model. Ang naging problema naman sa liberation theology, it came to a point na kung hindi mangyayari ang change, then let us take up arms. And so, this is something that tinatawag nila na empowering the poor ay nagkaroon ng physical manifestation. But it was a beautiful paradigm that is worth studying also. Then we came into another paradigm, which is the compassion paradigm. Compassion means, you know, engaging communities and transforming communities through compassionate ministries. Kaya nga, isang napakagandang modelo dyan is Mother Teresa. We all know Mother Teresa, no? Oh, Mother Teresa. And she was very popular, and her work was very popular globally. It was acknowledged by many governments, including the United Nations. And there were many who took from that model a compassion ministry. And something that was very, very essential and significant in that model by Mother Teresa was this. Let's listen carefully. Some authors say that one of the errors, quote unquote, of Christian churches is what they call the multinational strategy for compassion. What do you mean by that? A church or a group of a missional group would go into a locality, then they bring their own agenda, and as an addendum to their agenda of putting up churches and establishing this and establishing that is a compassionate ministry like feeding the poor, feeding programs, or giving this or giving that. Ang tawag po nila dyan ay multinational approach. And there are those who have said that is not the best way. The best way is the incarnational approach modeled by the Lord Jesus Christ, where you identify with the people in the community. I don't know if some of you have heard the servants. They are from Australia. And I don't know if they are still here, but I met them a few years ago. Actually, mga puti, mga missionaries coming from Australia and New Zealand, and they actually were living in slums. They were living in slums. In yung mga slums talaga, as we know slums. So, yung bang slums na puro abot kamay, no? O abot kamay mo lahat, yung ano doon, tapos punta ka sa CR, abot mo din, you know? O, kasi because of the cramped kind of living that they had. And these missionaries, wow, sabi ko, you were actually living there? No, we are living there. We are living there. And they were modeling what is called by some incarnational kind of compassion ministry in terms of transforming communities and transforming nation as they go along. Now, there is another model, which is what we call Christians engaging society in terms of political influence. Now, this is very relevant to us. Ito yung pinapag-usapan namin kagabi. Because what is the role of the church sa political life of the nation? What is the role of the church in national affairs? In the past, there has been a very, very costly misinterpretation of the principle of separation of the church and the state. No, ako po ay batang-bata pa sa Panginoon. The thought that were taught to us, the teaching that were taught to us is, you know, yeah, politika, that is dirty, yung ganito, that is dirty. So we don't involve ourselves into these endeavors because they are dirty. And when we get into it, you know, dirty, wag lima, mag ano ka sa lupa. Maglaro ka sa lupa, mapuputikan ka, yeah? Something like that. Then of course, as we began to be more mature and to read more, we began to realize that all the realms and all the spheres of society are under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the 1980s, this was very, very much proclaimed. Yung crown rights of the king. How many of you remember that? Crown rights of the king. How many of you are here and nag-start po kayo sa Maranata pa? Maranata pa tayo. Oh, Pastor Winston? Oh, Pastor Noel? Oh, ito'y pala mga marami pa lang tayo mga veterano dito. No? Oh. Yung Maranata, there were some of the few who were proclaiming the crown rights of the king. There is no part of this universe. Ito po galing kay Abraham Kuyper, the most popular Dutch theologian. Sabi niya, every inch, every millimeter of this earth, of this universe, belongs to the king. At doon po nagsimula yung teaching the crown rights of the king. And therefore, if it belongs to the king, then that rulership has to be established in every realm, in every sphere of society. And we all know that. I think we have gone through that. How many of you have gone through, meron tayong training no, Pastor Winston, yung merong Christian worldview? Di ba meron tayo nun? Dati? How many of you have gone through Christian worldview? No? Raise your hand. Wala. No. Oh. We all have our views, of course. Oh. In ANLI. No? Oh. Sa ANLI pa. Dati. Parang VLI pa rin. Meron na tayo nun. Eh. Oh, VLI, meron na tayo nun. Sa Christian worldview. So, it is something that rings with much truth. Why? Because it is truth. It rings with much power. Why? Because it is a powerful truth. Amen. And so, marami ng through, if I could give you a timeline, siguro mga from the 80s until today, the Holy Spirit gradually began to open the minds and the hearts and the eyes of Christians. And so in the 80s up to the 90s, late 80s up to the 90s, many Christians have entered the political realm. We have Brother Ross, Pastor Ross. Saan ba si Pastor Ross? Hindi, ibig sabihin, anong position niya ngayon? O nanalo na board member si Pastor Ross. Dati kunsihal, tapos naging vice mayor ba? Acting vice mayor, no? Oo. So ngayon, he is a board member of the province. Okay. So, yung mga ganun ba? May mga tumakbo, pero natalo. May mga iba na tumakbo, dapat mupo na lang. But these are all results. These are all beautiful results of the breaking of that old mindset. Na, oh, separation of church and state, hindi tayo ano diyan. Oh, dirty ang politics, huwag tayong, don't dirty your hands. No. Everything belongs to the Lord. Amen. And so, this is something that we need to have a little grasp about so that when we are asked, because you are pastors, when you're asked, then at least you could know exactly what to say according to the word of God. Amen. Kasi ang nangyari nung araw, and until today, parang yung church has become another lobby group lang. Naglalabi lang tayo, no? Oh. But we are the church. And my position has always been, if the church will be the church as the Lord has meant it to be, then that in itself is a powerful thing. That in itself is a powerful thing. The Lord said, we are the salt, we are the light. Some say that is our prophetic mandate. We'll get into that later on. But if the church will just be the church, faithful to the mandate that the Lord has given to us as a church, then we would be relevant. Kasi mga iba, hindi tayo relevant. Ang sasabi, no? Hindi relevant ang church, etc., etc. Puro worship lang, puro ganito lang, you know, etc. But if we will just be faithful to that mandate of being the church as the church was meant to be by the founder, that in itself will be a powerful thing. Amen. So, what has happened in the past? At the turn of this century, 19th century, something happened in the world. And basically, just to summarize, nagsimula po ito when some German theologians became so bad in their behaviors and in their way of thinking. This is just to summarize it. And so they started something like the higher criticism. How many of you have heard of that term before? Higher criticism, no? Higher criticism, to just summarize it, is looking at the scriptures in so many ways. Now, marami mga technical terms yan. But because of that, nag-emanate yung maraming mga haka-haka about scriptures. Nagkaroon na ng mga God is dead movement. Nagkaroon na ng mga interpretations like or expressions like, I believe the Bible is the word of God if it speaks to me. I believe the Bible becomes the word of God when I read it and I feel it. And I could tell you a lot of these theologians. We had in ATS before a fall semester subject called contemporary theology. We discussed all of these big guys, big things, and all of these big authors. And because of that, doon na born yung tinatawag na liberalism. Liberalism as against fundamentalism. Now, the fundamentalists are the ones who stayed on, stuck to the tenets of Christianity. What are those basic tenets of Christianity? Number one, the Word. The Bible is the Word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant, and the final or supreme authority in matters of faith, life, and conduct. You know? So kaya lahat halos ng mga evangelical churches' statement of faith ay kasama yun. You know? In matters of faith, of life and conduct, the Word of God, the Bible is supreme. Kaya nga't always number one yun eh. In the statement of faith, you have noticed this, always number one yan. Because, kung pupunta ka sa number two, and always number two is we believe in one true and living God, then number three, we believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Pag wala yung number one, walang pun foundation no number two up to number five or number seven or whatever it is. And therefore, it led to the breakdown of the absoluteness of the Bible as the Word of God. Kaya nga, nagkaroon na, kaya nga tinawag na liberalism. And so, ang ginawa ng mga fundamentals in America, they closed ranks, and they began to be stronger in their proclamation of the gospel. And in that proclamation of the gospel, in their zeal in evangelism, nakalimutan nila that there are other spheres of society that also need to be touched by the church. Are you following? So, lalo na nung pumasok in the late 1800s, pumasok yung tinatawag na dispensational interpretation of the Bible. We will see that next week. Most of us come from that tradition, dispensation. And so, the dispensational interpreters or adherents, sabi nila, Christ is coming, and therefore, we have no time for these things. No time to polish the ship. That was the expression. That was the very popular expression. If Christ is coming, why polish the ship when the ship is sinking? Sabi nila, the world is sinking, so why should you build universities? Why should you build this? Why should you build that? Kaya nga, in our zeal for evangelism, in our zeal for getting people as many saved as we can, we forgot the other spheres, which is social sphere, which is educational sphere, which is political sphere, which is media sphere, which is entertainment sphere, which is military or medical sphere, which is legal sphere. And so during those days, it's kind of we defaulted and we left these spheres unguarded, almost like in a vacuum. And you know, we all have heard of the saying that there's no such thing as vacuum, because when you leave something empty, other things will come and fill it up. And so who filled up the vacuum? Instead of people that knew the truth, instead of people that really were believers of the Bible as the truth, as the Word of God, pumasok yung mga ungodly, pumasok yung mga anti-gospel, pumasok yung mga anti-ganito, anti-ganyan. Tapos ang church, nag-aantay lang ng blessing from the Lord. You know? And it was the case. Kaya nga, during our time, very popular yung mga books na redeeming culture, redeeming entertainment, redeeming the political sphere, taking hold of, you know, yun mga metaphors namin nung araw, yung Joshua, possessing media, possessing the political sphere, etc. Yun mga sinisigaw namin nun. Why? Sapagkat nakalimutan na ito. Oh, na-focus tayo dito. Especially sa dispensationalism, talagang, focus. Huh? Get as many people as saved as we can. Because darating na si Lord. Darating na si Lord. Oh, I remember when I was, when I decided to go into Foursquare Bible College, some of my friends in the church said, oh, mag-aaral ka pa, darating na si Lord. Oh. To his credit, natapos ako, hindi dumating si Lord. Siguro na traffic or whatever. Then, I went to the seminary, graduate school. Yun na naman. Oh, fresh school, yun ka na naman. Darating na si Lord, Christ is coming. Huwag ka na mag-aaral. Evangelism, church planting, that church planting. Oh, Christ is coming, etc. No? By the grace of the Lord, natapos ko yung seminary. And the Lord has not come. Oh. Then I went to my doctoral program. No, I started too. Hindi ko pa natapos. Hanggang ngayon. Kasi, yan naman. Oh, doctor ka na naman. Crisis coming, crisis coming. Oh. Pero nag-drop out ako. Why? Because, it's not because crisis coming, but the bills to pay were always coming. You know? So, I have to drop out. Si Peter Tanchik, eskwela ko yan sa doctoral. Sa ISOT, yung ISOT pa noong araw. Ano ba pangalan nila ngayon? IGSL na ngayon. Ano? Oh. But our doctoral program was so open-ended. Kasi lahat kami nagtra-travel. Mga 12 kami. Tapos naging 6, naging 5. Oh. One time, nagkita kami ni Peter, natapos ka ba? Doktor ka na ba? Oo, kailan? Oh, last year lang. Ang tagal-tagal na nun, last year niya. Oh, last year lang, akala ko ay kinonfer lang sa kanya. Pero he earned it pala. No? Oh. IGSL. Oh. Because CCF is a big donor of IGSL. Kasi Campus Crusade for Christ. Yun. Oh. So, ganun yung mga mindset nung araw. No? Never mind the universities. Kaya, napabayaan yung universidad. I remember si the Brother Ramon Orosa, he has a restaurant doon sa Broadway called Sign of the Dove. And in the Sign of the Dove, we had a two-day symposium with Dr., I forgot his name. He is the former president of PLM. Tayabas, yeah. And he was, and he is a very, very active Methodist. Very, very committed to the Lord. He gave us some seminars on establishing the first evangelical university where PCEC members would be involved. Meron nang nag-donate ng lote malapit sa Batasan, pambansa. Oh. But he did not push through. Wala. Oh. Kasi yung mga ibang churches ayaw magano, ayaw sumali. And so, wala. Hanggang ngayon, wala tayong evangelical university. Sabi nga ni Dr. Tayabas, during that time, and this was years ago, sabi niya, we are 50 years behind UP. We are this how many years behind Ateneo. We are 50 years behind this, behind that. No? Oh. Pero until today, we cannot say that we have a real evangelical university. Yung university sa Dumaguete, anong pangalan nun, Brother Ryan? Silliman University was the first evangelical university college that was established. But then, as we all know, how many of you came from Silliman? Oh. It started very well, fundamental, it started very evangelical, tapos nagkaroon na sila ng mga radical teachers na pumasok. And so, naging hotbed for activism nangyari. Pati yung mga MDiv nila. Doctor of Divinity School nila naging mga hotbed of activist, etc., etc. So, that is because of the mindset that evangelism lang tayo. Wala dito. However, when we look at the Bible, we have very, very clear and beautiful and powerful teachings, which is our mandate. Be salt, be light. Of course, we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So, I'd like to, just to end this, I'd like to suggest to you what the reformers have suggested or have taught about the role of the church in transforming nations. Number one, the prophetic role. The prophetic role. Wala akong notes dito kasi kagabi ko lang naisip ito. No? So mag-ano lang kayo. No? Maybe if I will have time to write, I'll send it to Pastor Winston. No. But this is something that is very essential. So I pray that you will take this very, very seriously. Number one, prophetic. Now, what is the role of a prophet in the Old Testament? How many of you preach on Isaiah 6, the other Sunday. Isaiah 6. Series break. Isaiah. Isaiah is a beautiful example of a prophet who spoke to kings. Isaiah, Nathan, they spoke to kings. They were prophets to the kings. A prophet spoke the mind of God. A prophet spoke the heart of God. And that is the prophetic role of the church today. The church is God's corporate prophet to the nation. When we speak the heart and the mind of God according to His word about situations that are obtaining in our country that are not in accordance with the truth as we see it in the word of God. Are you there? That is the prophetic role. Limbawa, nung araw, we had this grupo called CLAP. CLAP. CLAP stands for Christians. Ano ba yung L? Christian Leaders Alliance of the Philippines. No? So we only meet when there is a burning issue. Then we come up with a position paper. We publish it in the newspapers, or there is somebody to be interviewed by DCS, etc., etc. CLAP, and it was led by people who were not clapping in their services. You know, mga tahimik ba, mga Methodista, mga evangelical. So yun ang ginagawa po namin nung araw. And we came up with some very, very good position papers exercising the prophetic role of the church. Halimbawa, about gambling, about lotto, about this and about that. However, this is from my own observation, we can be involved in the affairs of the nation without being identified with what we call the powers that be. Because what happened in the past, and this is only my personal observation, is that nawala na yung prophetic line. Nawala na yung respectable distance between the leaders of the churches and those that are in the political power corridors. Kaya nga, yung mga salitang, naibulsa na ni ano yan. Nasa bulsa na ni ano yan. So, wala na. The prophetic vision was blurred. Kasi, we can no longer speak. Kung kasama ka doon sa political corridor na yon, you can no longer speak. Limbawa, kung ikaw ay, ikaw nagsasalita dati ng mga evils of poverty, evils of etc. Tapos, binabayaran ka pala ng gobyerno ng ganito, consultant ka pala ng ganyan. So, wala na. You cannot speak as powerfully or as effectively as it should be. But the prophetic role of the church is something that is very, very powerful, and we need to exercise that. And I pray that PCEC, that represents us, would be very, very strong for this administration that is coming in. Kahit na medyo ano sila, no? Nagkaroon ng konting conflict between them. And we were trying to, ako personally, I was asked to mediate some kind of a meeting, pero hindi naman nangyari. You remember, ang PCC naglabas ng full page ad? Manila Times, Inquirer, and Philippine Star. If I can estimate how much they spend for that, it's almost like 500,000 pesos. Kasi 300,000 ang full page ng Inquirer, 200,000 ang Philstar. I don't know sa Manila Times. So. But it's something na malaki. And they came up. When I read that, I was shocked. Sabi ko, ano ito? No? So I told one bishop, kapatid, kahit na anong explanation natin dito, sapagkat eleksyon, the perception is anti-Duterte tayo. How many of you have read? Di ba, ganun ang perception? Kahit anong explanation natin, hindi tayo pakikinggan explanation natin, binasa mo yung anti-Duterte. No? And it came out when the issue was already gone.
Wala na, tapos na yung issue eh. Oh. So, usually, mga evangelicals, kami nung araw, ano, kasi sa dami ng meeting, ano, papasa mo pa yung draft. Pagdating nung time that it will be issued to the newspapers, wala na, the issue is gone. Parang umalis na ang Holy Spirit. Eh, no? So, timayab. Sabihin, ano ba, timayab, Pastor Benny? Lumipad na. Oh. So, ganun. Prophetic role is very important. Amen. In fact, nakakatawa doon nga sa mga reply comments sa Manila Times. Oh, eh, bakit kayo lang, bakit ngayon lang kayo nag-open letter? Naku. Oh, bakit hindi kayo nag-open letter kay Binay? Kay ganito? Oh. So, kasi sa media, labanan ng perceptions yan eh. I was in media before I became a Christian. Labanan ng perception yan. I was a copywriter for an advertising agency. Kaya, ang tagal ko ng bola. Tagal ko nagsinungaling. So, sasabihin natin, new, improved, tied. Wala naman improved doon. Hindi naman new. Oh, new lang siguro yung package. No? Pero, yung konti, I mean, oh, I've been there. Kaya alam ko how media works, no? In terms of, you know, yung tinatag na you grab the perception of people. Kaya nga't yung, this is a digression, I'm sorry for this. Kaya nga't yung media people, media handlers ni Duterte, mga genius sila eh. Oh, mga genius. I mean, when I say genius, because they know how to handle the issues. Oh, so much so that Duterte dominated the media. He was the most talked about. Wala. Yung mga iba, wala na. Hindi na pinag-usapan. Duterte na lang. No? You come out with this, parang ano yan eh, parang sa first Gulf War eh. Shock and awe. Oh, di ba? Shock and awe. Kaya nga, nagmumura siya. Oh. Yung pala, hindi naman talaga siya ganun. Oh. Parang strategy lang. No? Oh. Sinasabi ko lang yan para dun sa inyo na gusto tumakbang presidente later on. Oh. Okay. 5 minutes to go. Number two is the priestly. Priestly. Ano ang role ng saserdote nung araw? They represent the people before God. And they represent God to the people. Yung mga prophets, they speak, they proclaim the mind and the heart of God according to His will, according to the Bible. And si Aaron, the high priest, and all those that came after him, yun po ang kanilang role, di ba? Mga mediators. And that is a role. That's why in this particular role, yung intercession natin takes on something that is just, you know, one night mag-intercede tayo, ganito, but it is something that is very powerful. It is in fact the power center for the church to connect the people before the throne of the living God. Amen? And number three, the kingly role. Prophetic, priestly, the kingly role. Ito po yung tatlo. Now, if you read some reformers, these are very, very strong. Calvin was very strong on this. The kingly role goes back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Well, we subdue, we rule all those languages, all those words that were used. They have dominion over all the earth, etc., etc. And this is establishing the rulership of the Lord in every sphere. Na dapat, sabi ni Calvin, we should be the people leading the way. Hindi tayo yung sumusunod lang. Hindi tayo yung tagasunod lang. But we should be leading the way. We should be the front runners. We should be always, hindi ko alam kung who said this, no? Sabi niya, we should always be smelling of the battlefront. that is how he put it. Because that is the role of the church. That's why we do not confine ourselves to anything or to everything sa church lang.
church-related, worship, evangelism, but we also has to speak and to do something in terms of being good stewards and managers of the earth that God has given to man. Kaya nga't pati yung climate change, we need to also be concerned about it. And the church should be a forefront group that should be leading the way for climate change, for environmentalism, for all of these things that concern this earth. Because this earth belongs to the Lord, and He has given to man through especially those who have been redeemed this authority to take hold of this truth, establish it, and transform the nation. Amen? So, we go back to my question. Tapos na tayo, no? 1 hour? Tapos na? We go back to my question. How can we say, when can we say that a nation has been transformed? When can we say that a nation has been discipled? What are the indicators? How many of you were at the 2010? Was it 2010? Every Nation's Mall of Asia? Where Dr. June Vincer was there? Oh. I don't know. Part of the presentation of Dr. June Vincer was on this. I don't know. Please, if I'm wrong, correct me. Itong indicators of a discipled nation. I was working with Dr. June Vincere. I was the in charge of communications of WEF, World Evangelical Fellowship. He was the first international director who is a non-American, non-white. He was the first Asian. And then WEF became WEA, World Evangelical Alliance. Sister Dr. June Vincere term ended in 2009 or 2010, no? And then after many years, puro mga Amerikano ulit, puro European ulit, and then WEA appointed another non-white. In fact, they appointed a Filipino that you know. His name is Bishop Ephraim Tendero, no? Tendero. Kaya, yung first na non-white, the second non-white, Filipino pa rin. Oh, kaya nga, sabi kay Dr. John Vincer, it speaks of the world-class leadership preparation that Filipino churches are engaged in. Wow. Amen? That is a great honor. I was with him for 3 years. So we were traveling with him. And so I was part of those that crafted, conceptualized, and polished these five indicators that Dr. June Vincere transformed into a seminar for nations. Some of you maybe have gone. Pastor Manny, Pastor Ferdy, they have gone to that seminar in Antipolo, 2 weeks, a 10-day seminar about these things and some other things. No? So five indicators. Pero wala na tayong panahon, so mag-break muna tayo.